back to hour two of this edition of the Hagman Report. I'm trying to plug in my headset here. So, yeah, again.
You need help over there or what?
Suspect found not guilty, acquitted of murder and manslaughter. Oh, so they did have a lesser charge there. They didn't even charge him with manslaughter.
So, okay, so if your last name is Garcia, you have a stolen weapon, and you fire a gun and kill a legal, lawful resident, a beautiful young lady. It's okay. Hey,
well, he was found guilty of possession of a firearm.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Yeah, it's kind of hard to get out of that, especially with the gun residue on, you know, GSR residue.
They say, well, Garcia, out of the courtroom, it's expected he will be taken into custody by immigration officials and eventually deported back to his native Mexico. Isn't that a crime against this in the sanctuary city?
Well, yeah.
Where's the ACLU?
See, and Donald Trump is absolutely 100% correct in this, in getting these elite. Look, I will drive the bus, okay? Donald Trump, look, I volunteer. I'll drive the Greyhound bus. You tell me where to go, where to drop these aliens off. I will drive the bus, and I'll bring John along with me. He can smack the people, you know, down if they get too rowdy. Now you watch. The emails will pour in. Okay, I try. You got to see my inbox. You don't want to see my inbox, but yeah. I'll drive the bus one by one. Let's get them out of here. It's sad. It's a
so
sad
the jury
thing.
Had a number of choices. They could have gone with a second-degree verdict, involuntary manslaughter, or consider first-degree murder. I don't get it.
I'd like to pull the jury to find out what what went on inside that jury room.
And as John pointed out, in an artist's rendition of the jury listening to the arguments, the one juror has interpretation headphones on, so apparently doesn't even speak English.
Well, a jury of your peers. That's what you get, right?
Probably pretty accurate.
So how come I never get called for jury duty? Well, I've got called, but no one ever picks me for jury duty.
I haven't shown up
the defense always says, no, we don't want you.
Maybe I haven't shown up. Growl. I'll show up next time.
Oh, I beg
usually
for
throw
jury
in the
duty.
Trash.
No, I tell you what, it's your duty.
It is.
Oh, man, it's sad when you think about this.
So the tax vote won't happen tonight. Republicans rewriting tax bill and won't vote tonight. GOP leaders are still making major changes to the plan in order to win over several holdouts.
McCain's going to support it, so I hear.
Yeah, he is going to get behind it. And as we said in the very beginning of the show, over 100 economists talked about how
that
this is going to be a huge boost to the economy, not only in increasing revenues, but more jobs. It will have impacts on a number of markets, including more money in our pockets, in corporations and companies' pockets. And we'll see the results of that over the next few years. And an increase in GDP, another 3-5% on top of the 3.3% we just saw this quarter. So you're looking at potentially, when we see the effects of this economically kicking in, you could be looking at 5-6% GDP.
Right. Now, did you see the yesterday's news conference when he's talking about the tax bill Donald Trump was?
No, but I heard it was one of the better speeches he's given as president.
It was classic Donald Trump talking directly to the American people, kind of cracking jokes, saying, I like people who are transparent. I don't like these politicians who stand up there and who are plastic and they're not genuine. To me, that this is genuine, all out Donald Trump, just cracking wise and being Donald Trump. And this is why there's this appeal among middle America and the refined, the intellectual elite from the left and right coasts, of course, the same kind of people who led off the killer of Kate Steinle. Those are the people that Donald Trump does not appeal to. And of course, that says a lot.
We have both of our guests with us.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Craig
man.
Sawyer and Kevin Shipp. And it's going to be a fantastic 2 hours. We got a whole bunch of issues we're going to cover.
Two of my favorite people.
I want to say a special thanks to Brent Bileski, spytheater.com. That's spytheater.com. Thank you, Brent Bileski.
He's a good guy. And I got to tell you, Craig Sawman Sawyer, met him in Chicago. Just a brilliant man. And equally brilliant is Kevin Shipp from the Company of Shadows. And the presentation, if you haven't seen the presentation of his shadow government on our YouTube channel, in fact, I'm going to put it back. I'm going to put it up in the, what's that called? I don't know. At the top there where the featured, you got to watch that. But, we're just going to stand back, right? Because let these two at it and just shut. I'm going to shut up because I want to hear what these two gentlemen have to say.
And we got an awesome number of interesting, relevant topics we're going to be getting into. So let's bring our guests on. Craig Sawyer, welcome back to the Hagman Report.
Thank you, gents. Happy to be back on.
It's great to have you back on. And we have with us Kevin Shipp. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again. Good to be back on.
Hey Kevin, I got to ask you this. And folks in the audience, please pray for Kevin. I mean, he had some physical maladies. How you feeling? You feeling okay?
I'm feeling good. As a matter of fact, I think just before I had a full knee replacement. Take care of your knees when you're younger. We did a lot of drills falling out on our knees, and I ran on pavement every day for 20 years. So, Craig, you can probably relate to this. You're about 10 times better shape than I am, brother, because I'm getting up there in years. But I had a full knee replacement, and I went on with you guys before the surgery because, you know, with kind of with my background, who knows? So the reason I did the shadow government overview with you all was just before the surgery, kind of on purpose. But everything went well. I'm back on 2 feet. I'm back in the gym again working out. So thanks for asking.
All right, sir. All right. Well, okay. Of you two, who wants to lead off, Kevin or Sawyer? Kevin, I'm gonna let you superintend the Kevin, why don't you lead off? Kevin Shipp.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, and I'll defer to Craig on some of the things that he's an expert on. But you know, as we can see, there's obviously a war going on in Washington. It's kind of like a thunderstorm where the cold air hits the hot air, and then you see the lightning bolts. And we're seeing this concerted effort by what I call the shadow government, the secret government, deep state, whatever you want to call it. I think there's a difference between the two, but there is a concerted effort going after Donald Trump with a bloodthirsty vengeance. And, I think there's a lot of reasons for that. He's questioned, some of the CIA activities in the past, the FSA, their connections to Al Qaeda. He's even gone so far as questioning some of the JFK records before he got in office. So the shadow government, my former agency and others, they're not real happy with President Trump. And then, and I know this is where Craig can jump in, Ivanka has been appointed to be in charge of the Human Trafficking Task Force, which I think raised a lot of very dark eyebrows on the global setting and made a lot of people very angry and a lot of people very scared. So that added to the impetus to them. I don't think they're going to get him through the 25th Amendment. They've already done a full character assassination. They're going to come back, I think, with some harassment claims if they can get him. But I think effectively, there's a video out there saying this. You know, his life is in jeopardy, in my humble opinion, just knowing what I know coming from the belly of the beast. But we're seeing a war going on, and I think that's why the shadow government is terrified of Donald Trump. And you hear the case all the time. Well, these are Obama plants still in the intelligence community, and they're going after Donald Trump. And these people are kind of left there by Obama, and you hear that on talk shows. That's simply not true. These people go all the way back to Bush, George W. Bush, Bush Senior, and Clinton. You're talking John Brennan, Mike Morrell, James Clapper, John McCain. These are all dark, deep state, shadow government actors that are after Donald Trump. So this goes across political affiliations and across administrations. But they're trying to get rid of this man because Donald Trump, whatever you think of him, is who he is. And that's what scares them, is he can't be bought, he can't be scared, he can't be manipulated, and apparently so far he can't be blackmailed, and so they're terrified by him.
Craig, what's your assessment of this? We've seen a lot of things we've seen a lot of claims and seen this struggle between the deep state, and we'll throw the CIA in there as part of this deep state, and Donald Trump. We see the rabid media, you know, constantly attacking him for any and everything he does, good, bad, or indifferent, and do you believe his life's in danger, Craig?
I think it is. I hope that he's boosted his internal security to the degree appropriate under these unusual circumstances. It's no secret anymore the level of hostility that he is facing. It looks to be unprecedented. It is ridiculous in my mind to observe a man who's doing exactly what he said, what the people elected him to do. He's following through on. And by every measurable standard, things are improving. So you see the stock market crushing new highs. You see, unemployment down. You see, construction taking off and all the signs of the economy taking back off. And, he is following through trying to get the taxes lowered. So, for we the people, this should be a great thing. So I think for just people watching, they should question what's going on. Even if they don't know a whole lot going on behind the scenes, they should question anyone that's so violently attacking a president who's by all accounts is acting in good faith and doing exactly what we the people elected him to do. So there's something very, very rotten there. And he, with some of the information that I know about, I'll tell you that he doesn't have even a large chunk of his administration in place yet. They're still waiting on security clearances. They can't get clearances because apparently the people that are responsible for granting clearances have been victims of brownstone blackmail operations, and they're not granting the clearances, or they're slow rolling them. So I say God help the crooks once the man gets his cabinet completely in place and actually gets fully in gear. And that's a day that I'll celebrate, because while he's not perfect, he is acting in good faith. He's doing things that are helping our countries, helping we the people. And I think it's really sad and very disturbing that such a large portion of our population has been conditioned through a number of methods to attack him and chant the same rhetoric that they're hearing through the mass media and run him down and not even observe what it is that he's actually doing for them. So these are strange times, and Kevin will walk through a lot of what he knows behind the scenes. What I'm going to harp on tonight and back Kevin up is really what the people need to know. I started off with a family. I thought it was a normal upbringing, but it really was very unusual. I thought it was like the Leave It to Beaver household. I had a loving mother and father, but we had a lot of visitors because my dad was a devout pastor of a church. He was a spiritual man. He was a very good man. He was sincere, and he lived what he preached. So he wasn't one of those that says one thing and does another. And there were people from all over the world come to our house to visit with him. And he was going on missions with him and different things. There were people in our house that were running Bibles behind the Iron Curtain back in the 60s and 70s. Hairy stuff, life-threatening stuff. And the intelligence agencies and race car drivers, just people that were Christians that were internationally connected and in the know. And I grew up hearing discussions about everything that we're seeing now. I've known this was coming my whole life. And now to watch it play out, it's very upsetting, but it's not surprising. And I think there's a season for everything. And I'll button up for a minute by saying, I think right now the season is a revelation of that which has been dark and unthinkable and has been wrapping its, an evil that's been wrapping its tentacles around the United States. And I think that final coup de grace, the keys of the kingdom were to be handed over to the globalists by Hillary, with an election that had been bought and arranged for her win. So I think, I look at it as a supernatural intervention that Donald Trump won that election. And I think there's going to be a lot of good things come from it. But, I think that's what we're seeing now is that clash between good and evil, that struggle for control of the United States, and all of the things that we're seeing are merely symptoms of that struggle for power.
And Craig, I couldn't agree with you more that, there's supernatural elements at play here. And I said this before you guys came on in the last hour, that a 8-year presidency by Donald Trump doing absolutely nothing is a million times better than Hillary Clinton being president for 1 week. So that in itself is a victory. Kevin, I want to ask you this, back to the CIA real quick. We've been hearing rumors and speculation and reports of some kind of conflict between the military and the CIA. we saw reports that Marines had surrounded the CIA building in Langley, and Craig just mentioned the behind-the-scenes information that has been ongoing. Is there any truth, or have you heard anything about Trump sending the Marines to Langley?
Well, I
know there's a drill that was happening there, but specifically for the CIA.
Yes, I've been getting that joke from all over the place, and have not at all been able to verify that that was Trump sending the Marines in there to grab CIA files and things. And I've got that from some sites that have got it from other sites that got it from other sites. So, no, I have not heard that the Marines have gone. For example, one site said some of the JFK reports that still have not been released. So, no, I can't confirm that.
Yeah, that was one of those things. We apologize almost for asking you about that, but to hear it from a credible source like yourself, I had to ask you. So, thanks.
Sure.
One of the things that I did see, guys, was an article to that effect from February of 2015. So my assumption, not hearing anything from any of my sources on it, was that somebody had gotten a hold of that older report and had run with it.
Yeah, you would think that one of us in this conversation would have got a kind of a, hey, listen to this kind of thing, phone call. But that absent of that, okay, all right. Mr. Shipka, one.
Well, I'd like to echo something Craig said because he nailed it. Donald Trump's cabinet, many of them are waiting for their security clearances. And having been in that business and having seen this personally, if the agency doesn't want someone in or they don't want them to have a clearance, they have an entire mechanism to stop that or at least slow it down from happening, even slow it down for years. For example, a secret clearance, I can't say exactly, but a secret clearance is just a matter of days. Top secret, a little higher than that. But it is a shadow government tactic. They tried to use that on me and my attorneys, actually, to stop people from getting access by not granting them a clearance for a variety of untrue reasons. So you can be sure that if Donald Trump is appointing someone to his cabinet that the shadow government is not happy with, or may start scrutinizing some of the things the CIA has done with the Free Syrian Army in Syria, for example, you can be sure they are going to slow that clearance down or stop it unless someone can get in there and force them to do it, which is very difficult to do. In our case, it took 2 years to get my attorney a secret clearance, which you can get in a matter of days. So Craig made an excellent point there. That is intentional. That is no accident. And that surely is what they're doing. They do not want this man to have access to what they've been doing for the last 10, 20 years, not to mention the last 40. And that's the war we're seeing. I may be like a broken record, but that's the war we keep seeing between the shadow government and Donald Trump. They do not want this man in. The globalists thought they had their global princess who had already been coronated to go in and change America. And all of a sudden there was this great shock. And I agree with Craig. I think it was a divine move. A lot of people were praying, pastors, international pastors that I know. All of a sudden, out of the blue, Donald Trump gets elected and just blows the mind of all the globalists, their connected media establishments, their connected media donors and others, just go crazy. It was an absolute shock. And the target, I've been, traveled a lot, talked to a lot of people, spoke to a lot of people, as you all have. And I've reached the conclusion, even going back to my days in the CIA where they told us no CIA officers can ever say Merry Christmas in a CIA office, that the target of all of this, going back, golly, to the 40s, but now intensely the target of all of this, and I call it in some of the humble speeches I give, the C2 is the target, Christianity and the Constitution. There's one problem with Christians, and the Soviet Union said this: we can control just about everybody and the way that they think, but we can't control those doggone Christians because they seem to think they answer to a higher authority. And that's the problem that globalism has with Christianity in the United States, largely responsible for the election of Donald Trump. The problem is a true Christian believes in a higher power a global or U.S. government, and many of them are not afraid of dying for their faith. What do you do with somebody like that? It's kind of hard to control. So I think the global system, the system that is now entrenched deeply in Washington, darkly in Washington, beyond imagination in terms of how dark it is freaking out, because now there's a man in office way out of the box who was elected by this group of Americans who happen to have faith, as the founders did, above any sort of government. And so I think that's where these problems are coming from.
Okay. Is there, Kevin, I want to ask you this. Is there anything that Trump can do to change the way of these security clearances being issued, or to speed things up, or aside from maybe tweeting it out and putting it out there for the American public, is there anything he can legally do or those around him can do to change or speed this process up?
Yeah, circumvent the process.
Yeah, excuse me, guys. I've got a bad cold today, so bear with me. But excuse me. Well, he is the president of the United States. The problem is, now he's got Mike Pompeo in there, which in my view is a good man. They're thinking of moving him out because the CIA is even watching their own director now, I understand. That's the CIA counterintelligence and others are spying on their own director. Trump's thinking of moving him out, and I think Pompeo is being blocked from what he's trying to do. But the President of the United States can approach the CIA director and order him to expedite these clearances. And in the final analysis, Mike Pompeo, right now, the director of the CIA, is the ultimate authority to demand that these clearances be granted. So, yes, they can do that. If people know this is happening, and if it's made public, and if it's made an issue, then, yes, he can do something about it, absolutely.
Okay.
Craig, any thoughts on that? I mean,
yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts on it. One of the things that I have been hoping to see the president do, and I have been urging anyone that I know that has access personally to the president, I do know at least one person that briefs him regularly, is to get him to assert his commander's intent upon the different key agencies. And what it would look like to me in my mind, and I don't know the exact procedure, of what I saw happen in a crooked internal investigation inside the Federal Air Marshal Service kind of tipped me off to how these agencies work. And if it can work, if an investigation could work for bad, it could work for good if it's run by good people. So my idea was for him to take and choose someone of strong moral character for each of the key agencies, especially the intelligence community, put that director in charge and give them his commander's intent. And my commander's intent is for you to put this agency back on its chartered mission in good faith for the American people, period. You are to purge this agency of all subversives and obstructionists. We're better off without them than keeping them and trying to convert them. And so I put out a video hoping that one of his family members or people would have him watch it. But I feel very strongly that if he did that and he told them exactly what he meant for them to do and gave them the authority and the horsepower to do it and the support, and to let them know that he was not going to tolerate failure, that he would replace them in a heartbeat if they didn't follow through. It wasn't just a good old boy, you know, a hookup job. You know, you're there to clean house. You've got to renovate this agency because it is broken and it has fallen into the hands of hostiles in a lot of ways, at different levels, not everybody. Obviously, you know, I still think maybe not the overwhelming majority, but a good bulk of each agency are good American patriots working hard in good faith doing their thing. But I think there are people up and down the chain of command in each agency now that are very corrupted. And so I think they need to be replaced. They need to be fired. They need to be investigated. And if they have been acting against the United States in a subversive manner, they need to be prosecuted. And not only do these people need to be purged, but they need to be investigated, put on trial if appropriate, and that information needs to be part of a deliberate educational campaign to walk the American public through what they have been kept from for so long, because the American public are in the dark. They do not know all that has been done against them, and I think that knowledge will be power. So flush the agency, fire everybody that needs to be, let the director bring in as many allies with him as he needs to put them in key places up and down that agency, set his commander's intent down that chain of command, get that agency rocking, get it back on its chartered mission for the American people, and use that to support the president's mission in good faith rather than attack him, as they are currently. So that needs to happen. I'm surprised that didn't happen immediately. I think Trump pulls a lot of intelligent moves, and I'd like to see him do that with his key agencies and get those back on track.
I agree. And Mr. Shipp, what this reminds me of, I don't know whether you've had or either one of you had the opportunity to read Diana West's book, American Betrayal. This reminds me significantly of the post-World War II time period when you had an communist infiltration into our State Department, into our government.
Big time.
And I'm telling you, it's following the same template. And there was more outrage by people then, as the students of history will know, about the accusations of this infiltration than of the possibility of the infiltration itself, which just blows my mind. And we're seeing that same thing happen today. Craig, you're exactly correct. And Kevin, I'll kick it over to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did when I was in the CIA and got up in the upper levels and was doing some investigations, some involving the State Department. I got to tell you guys, it was rife, the State Department, with espionage. I mean, just people were coming up to me constantly saying, hey, my boss is giving information to the Soviets. What do I do about it? It was rife with espionage. That is still there. Diana West nailed it. She took a lot of heat, even from some conservative commentators for that. David Horowitz, I think. She took a lot of heat for that, but she nailed it. That sort of penetration.
She had to write a book. She wrote another book to rebut the criticism. So.
Yeah, it was horrible what they did. Now, why would someone come out with that kind of vitriol? But that's a whole other story. But the State Department was penetrated. It was penetrated when I was there, and in my view, it is still penetrated with hostile foreign intelligence agents, because I know the security system there. I know how you get in. I know how it works, and I know how incredibly easy it is to get in there. So that sort of thing is still in the State Department, without any question. And just backing up what Craig said, regarding the CIA, what I humbly am recommending at the end of my lectures is they need to rescind the National Security Act of 1947, which is where the CIA got its power for covert operations, and that's where it's gone off the rails and out of control, even regarding the JFK affair. The National Security Act of 1947 never gave the CIA authority to engage in covert operations of its own management and its own making. It's not even in the wording of that statute. But since then, the CIA has grown into a monster. You go down in the lower levels of the CIA or mid levels of the CIA. I work with there's still some of my very, very close friends, absolutely wonderful people, patriots, many, many, many of them. You get up into the higher levels of the dark chambers of the castle, which I call it, you get out into operations and you are way outside the Constitution. Actually, the CIA was created with no congressional approval. It has no real congressional oversight whatsoever. It engages in covert operations many times that Congress does not even know about. So here, enter Donald Trump. He's got to go in and try to clean up a place like that. And I guarantee you that those dark elements are, well, we see it. They're working against him, trying to stop him from doing that. And just to echo what Craig says, that it would take a house clean. Number one, in my view, rescind the National Security Act of 1947 and eliminate the CIA's unwritten power for unbridled covert operations. Number two, go in there and identify some of these people. They should have fired John Brennan. John Brennan actually hacked into and spied on the U.S. Senate on Capitol Hill for the torture report, hacked into the computers, read their files. This is the director of the CIA spying on the U.S. Senate. Was he indicted? No. Was anybody charged? No. Were any of the people that did it brought before any committee or any administrative actions? No. Matter of fact, Brennan was just moved up and is now out there collecting his pension after spying on his own Senate. That is what I'm talking about. That is the kind of power that the CIA has now and is using. And you hear people say, well, Barack Obama really was behind Brennan doing it. That is simply not true. They asked Barack Obama, what do you think about Brennan? What do you think should be done? And Obama's response was, well, I still have faith and confidence in him. What people don't realize is Barack Obama could do nothing about what John Brennan was doing. He could not stop him, and he could not prosecute him. That is how powerful the CIA has become. And that's why I'm telling people they've got to rescind the National Security Act of 1947. They've got to get in there, clean that place out. And as Craig said, they need to fire some of these dark people at the top. But I got to tell you guys, to do that is unbelievably monumental task. And just in closing this up, just the darkness that is in there. I ran an operation down into a certain country. I was leading a team in there, and it was a very sensitive operation. And the chief of station, who is basically the director's representative in that country, said, come in here before you start. I want you to sit down. I want to tell you something. I said, yes, sir. I went into his semi-lit office, sat down in the chair. Kevin, let's get something straight from the beginning. I want you to know this, and I want you to understand it fully. Yes, sir. You're the man. I want you to understand that I will sell my soul to the devil for intelligence. You understand that? And I remember thinking, because I was even a person of faith back there, I remember thinking, well, that makes one of us, buddy. but that was the kind of darkness that I kept seeing in operations around the world over and over and over. These people were one level above a serpent. They had no morals, no ethics whatsoever. And it was just unbelievable what they would do to get an intelligence report to get their job done. Now, that being said, I work with a couple of chief of stations that were just outstanding, God and patriot types, but I can count them on half of one hand. So the point I'm making is for Donald Trump to change that organization is going to take a dramatic action to change that. And in the upper levels, they're going after him right now. And they're even going after their own director right now. And it is going to take some sort of cataclysmic event to change the CIA.
It's a deep hole that we seem to be in. And short of what you suggested, Kevin, repealing, was it the National Intelligence Act of 1947? National Security. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do need some fundamental changes. And we need, as you just said, the lawlessness that the CIA operates under needs to be reined in dramatically, as they are. We see the shadow government, deep state, doing everything against the best interests of American and the people of America. Kind of switching gears here, Craig, I'm going to turn to you. I want to talk about the 234 members of Congress and the sexual harassment cases that have been settled using taxpayer dollars.
$17,254,000 in 268 cases since 1997.
They'll kick in a service disabled veteran's door if he doesn't pay every penny of his taxes on time with guns and pulling me out in front of my family. Yeah, but giving away millions to people in these goofy situations. Look, a lot of this is, again, it's just symptoms of a government under gross mismanagement, and it's been allowed to fester and grow more rancid over recent decades. Once you don't enforce the regulations, the laws, and honor character and in good faith, things begin to just creep into, and eventually it turns into a cesspool. Look, I grew up naive, about, the government. I was raised in a patriotic household, and I went off to the Marines and saw nothing but good there, and went to the Navy SEAL teams, and even at the highest level counter-terrorist operations, man, that's pretty hardcore stuff. But all I saw were good patriots working in good faith for the American people. And it wasn't until I went to the Air Marshal Service, and even then everything was run good until after 9/11, and they brought in a bunch of management from other agencies. And we got a guy in Las Vegas that had been an SES level exec for the FBI. And he came in to Las Vegas, and he was the dirtiest, most hostile human being I have ever encountered. And I didn't understand it. I was naive. I was still expecting him to do the right thing. And come to find out, they eventually fired him for gross mismanagement and retaliation. But one of the things that he was doing was keeping dirt files, J. Edgar Hoover-style dirt files, but illegally. But the problem is not against crooks, not against terrorists that are hijacking aircraft. And several years of working with the man and being in the management meetings with him, I never heard him mention the word terrorist or the word hijacking or anything about the mission, to be honest. The only thing I heard him talk about was his own personnel and how he could get them. And so he was after his own guys. And he wasn't after the guys with performance problems. He was after the guys that were making the greatest contributions, our cleanest agents, our best guys. So he was attacking the ones that were greatest in line for promotions. What he was doing was deliberately ruining their careers. And so that was an eye-opening epiphany for me, for Craig Sawyer. I was like, oh man, I thought I'd seen it all. And I was looking at this guy going, why would you do that? And people started, you know, pulling me aside like, hey, you know, here's how it works in the federal law enforcement. I'm like, that's stupid. Why on earth would the American citizen pay for that? Well, because we don't know. Well, the only reason we'll pay for that kind of corruption is because we don't know about it. And so my thing is exposure. Tell American people, show it to them so that they can make the decisions and really put the leverage. We hold the power and the leverage of voting our elected officials in there to either pass or not pass certain pieces of legislation that work in our best interest. We need to get back at that. We need to stop hanging back and forfeiting our right to vote because we're disgusted with the whole system. No, we've got to roll up our sleeves and get back in there, assert ourselves, and get people in there that will represent us. And it may not happen overnight, but we've got to do the work. And once we do that, we can clean that cesspool out one scumbag at a time.
Kevin, what do you think about this slush fund? Do you think that we will see the members of Congress who, the 234 members who have settled the sexual harassment cases, will we ever get the names of these people? And how do we, if not, how do we as American citizens weed this out to be able to know, especially at least when voting, you know, who's behind this?
No, Lord have mercy. You know, of course, as always, it's veiled under secrecy and sealed under NDAs and all of that, which used to be a good thing, but now they're used as a power tool. This has been done with our tax dollars. Dollars from the American people have been used to cover up what these over a couple hundred congressmen and senators have done. And I think what needs to happen is we need to watch the mainstream media because they're going to drop it eventually. But what needs to happen is a continual national outrage and demand for every single one of these names to be revealed and every settlement to be revealed because we paid for it, first of all. And secondly, I think there's some darker stuff. I think there's some darker suits here, not just sexual harassment. I think there's some other things that have happened. You remember Denny Hastert and others, four or five other congressmen and senators that had issues outside of sexual harassment. I think there's some darker, more nefarious things also that will come out if these cases are known. Congress has now got kind of a unconstitutional stink about it, for lack of a better word. And you remember in my lecture, I mentioned that each congressman on the Appropriations Committee receives about $700,000 each a year from the deep state contractors like Lockheed Martin and others. So the place is just corrupt and foul. And that's why they're going to go in and make our lives better. And then they vote for deep state shadow government operations like the Free Syrian Army, which morphed into Al-Qaeda, which morphed into ISIS. And they go in and they vote for things that their constituents are totally against because they're no longer constitutionalists. They're statesmen. They want to keep their job and their perks the way they are. And they know darn well when they get in there, that's what's going to happen. And Congress is the only constitutional voice that the American people have in Washington. The only one. And it's been usurped. And these sexual harassment cases are just the tip of the iceberg. Thank God. That is showing how corrupt the Congress has become. We've left our morals. We left any ethics that we ever had. It's no longer accepted, popular, or even sought after for anybody in the Congress or Senate or government to have ethics or character. That doesn't matter any longer. We've opened Pandora's box to complete unbridled human behavior. So the Congress needs to be cleaned out. And a lot of these people, frankly, just need to be fired and replaced. And these sexual harassment claims, I think what's going to happen, sunlight is the best disinfectant. I think things are going to start leaking out on who some of these people are, one by one by one by one. You will see the evidence of this, let's say the halo of action, kind of the outer actions. You'll see congressmen and senators, some it's already happening, resigning, deciding not to run again, wanting to spend more time with their family. As they see this stuff coming out, maybe it's going to be made public. You'll see people dropping out. But I think there's things darker going on in the Congress and the Senate in regards to possible blackmail that are even darker than the sexual harassment stuff. So it's not going to get prettier. I think it's going to get uglier.
Well, Kevin, can you just expand on that last point a little bit? And then, Craig, I want to get your opinion on this secret slush fund. But what kind of things do you think is going on? What are some of the examples of some of this blackmail activities that you're talking about?
Well, I think if you just look, and again, you know, as a former analyst, kind of just looking at some of the magnetic pointers on this thing, you go back to Denny Hastert, the third most powerful man in the government, by all accounts had one of the strongest networks amongst the Congress and the Senate. He was charged and judged. The judge called him a dangerous pedophile, which he had been practicing for years and years and years. You all know about the Lolita Express and mm-hmm. some of the passengers of that. And we have to be very careful because there's an ongoing investigation right now into all of that. But if you look at some of the people that you remember, Barney Frank was running a male prostitution ring out of his basement. Yeah. And he stayed. Did anything happen? No, he stayed in Congress. So, the sexual harassment stuff, in my humble view, as bad as some of it is concealing some of the stuff that's even worse. There is a global pedophilia network. There's been multiple arrests lately, in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in Australia, and in Canada. I think it is pervasive, throughout, this is just my opinion, based on some of the compass pointers that I personally have seen. It's also pervasive in our government, so I think there are cases that are beyond sexual harassment, and I think that's where the real darkness is. And I think there's cases, without a doubt, of blackmail with congressmen and senators, some judges, and others. And that, if that was to be revealed, and if that was to come out, we would have a constitutional crisis, essentially. So the sexual harassment is the tip of a very, very dark affair that's going on amongst Congress, which went bad probably 40 years ago. It has become an unethical, disgusting, self-serving place, and because of that, I think there's some things along those lines that are occurring there. So it's not, as I mentioned, I think it's just going to get uglier, and sexual harassment is kind of it's a screen for some things that are a little worse than that.
Okay. And is the and Craig, I'm going to get to you in a moment. Kevin, is this how can I put this? Is this a timed? Is this a shot across the bow? Is this a shot across the bow? What we're seeing right now, and then Craig, you can follow up with that. But Kevin, or is this a planned time release? Is that what I'm hearing? Perhaps.
I think it is. In my opinion, it is a shot across the bow. It's you better. For example, Representative Conyers just came out and made a statement. Essentially, listen, if I go down, I'm going to take a bunch of people with me. So this is a shot across the bow, saying you better watch out. You know what we've got on the rest of you. This is a heads up. We've got this number of people now that it has come out, have settled cases using tax dollars. So everybody in there, shut up. You better be pretty darn well quiet, or you're going down with the rest of these 278, 268 others, whatever the exact number is, over 200. You better play by the rules, or you're going down with them, and you know darn well it's worse than sexual harassment. So, yes, I do think it is a shot over the bow, and it's a warning for everybody else in there to mind their P's and Q's.
Craig, what do you think? The whole thing, the secret slush fund, the already settled sexual harassment cases, the continued blackmail, and the exposure. Where do you see this plan? How do you see this plan?
And you're on the tip of the spear, too.
Well, it's a lack of character. You know, back when Bill Clinton was president, I heard people, and it disturbed me even then, saying, well, character doesn't matter for a president. You know, economy seems to be doing okay, and that's all I care about. And I thought, man, that's foolish. That's a foolish way of thinking. Character is the only thing that matters. When a man wields that much power, he can circumvent the law. He can get away with what he wants when people aren't looking. And so what's going to cause him to do the right thing? Well, only character. His integrity and his character is the only thing that's going to cause him to act in good faith. So I think shame on those people that don't recognize that and don't have that understanding and background. So I think we need to get back to expecting our elected officials to act in good faith and to have character and conduct themselves professionally on behalf of the American people. I think we've just allowed it and accepted the fact that it's a cesspool and that they're going to be ineffective and squander our tax dollars and not expect and demand more from them. I think we need to be less tolerant of it. Look, we have been beaten relentlessly over the head with political correctness, and that we must be tolerant, quote unquote, of this and of that. Well, we must not be tolerant of that which is catastrophically devastating to the American people. That's, you know, being tolerant to terrorists, for example, that's obviously bad. Why would we do that? Why Right. would we force migrate tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that we know a large percentage of them are going to go off after a while once they get here and get out? Why would we allow people to represent us that we know are of bad character and cannot be trusted? Why would we not demand and force them out and get in there and assert ourselves to vote at every level, starting at the grassroots, the local level, and get people in there? So I think what we're seeing are symptoms of a deterioration of the moral character of the United States of America through our elected officials representing us. It's discouraging, but right now I see it as the sun's just starting to come out. We got Donald Trump in there. He wants to make America great again, and that's literally what he's trying to do. And you see the statistical results happening. You see the construction increasing, man. The things are starting to roll again, and the rats are starting to run. And I agree with Kevin, man. That a lot of these people need to get while the getting's good. They need to split before they, while they can, still without holes in them, so to speak, figuratively speaking, while they can still go home instead of going to prison. Because American people are about to start getting educated on things that they've been kept in the dark over, and they're going to get real ticked off, and they're going to demand justice. So a lot of these scumbags that have been lording over us with fancy titles and stabbing us in the back are about to be held accountable. I believe that that's going to be happening on a wider and wider scale as Trump gets more established and puts better people around him. And I think as the positivity grows, we will largely turn Washington, D.C. around, and so goes the country. So I welcome it. I celebrate it.
All right. And Craig, I do agree with you. You made a great point. We don't have to and are not to tolerate, moral bankruptcy. We're not and don't have to tolerate, illegal activities. It doesn't matter what these people want to shove down our throats and make acceptable in their own, circles of influence, but we don't have to tolerate that despite how much they want us to. But Kevin, I'm going to go back to you real quick and I just have one follow-up question on John Conyers. And you said that he threatened to reveal more and that he's not going to go down alone. I've read some articles about some things questioning his mental health or his ability. I think they said that he suffers from dementia or some kind of mental deterioration type disease, as well as he was just hospitalized a few days ago, maybe yesterday, and I'm not sure what that was for. Do you think that he's serious in that? And would you be surprised to see if he, up and passed away?
Well, mental deterioration, geez, I think that's half of Congress. No, but seriously, no, I don't think that's mental problems with him. I think that was a veiled statement. At least when I heard it and read it, I just think that was a veiled statement. Now, maybe he is...
They're trying to cover their tracks ahead of time.
Yes. A good investigator, I was a counterintelligence investigator, will learn that there's a halo around somebody when they're not telling you the truth. What you do is you watch that halo of activity, what they're doing, their actions, who they're associating with, and that'll tell you a lot about what's really going on here. And so what I'd encourage people to do is just watch the Congress and the Senate, specifically the individuals, watch what they do in the coming months with these new sexual harassment allegations. Watch the statements that they make, like Conyers just did, very carefully. Watch the number of them that are not going to go up for re-election. Watch the number of them that want to spend more time with their families and on and on. And you'll possibly get an idea of some of the actors here. Now I have to say, there are some good people there. I happen to like Rand Paul. I think, like his dad, he's still a straight constitutionalist. So there's some good folks in there. Unfortunately, they happen to be very few because the system will corrupt them once they've been in there just a year. The problem is we have lost our ethics in this country. We have opened Pandora's box to any sort of aberrant behavior. And I think you all said it best. We have not stood up and said, no, we don't need transgender bathrooms in this country. I'm sorry. No, we don't need this kind of aberrant behavior. No, we don't need to teach fifth graders transgender goals. No, 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 we don't need to do that stuff anymore. And Americans have become so afraid because of lawfare and not being popular and on it goes. But it's time for us, and I think you're right, it's time for us to stop tolerating this dark behavior that's going on in a country that's supposed to be a light on a hill, as Reagan said, a city on a hill. So it's time to stop tolerating that stuff, and it's time for people to stand up and say enough is enough. We're not tolerating this anymore, and we're going to elect people that are going to go into Congress, and they're going to stop supporting or at least stopping rolling over to these things. And a big issue with me on that regard is funding Planned Parenthood. They got to stop rolling over and stop funding Planned Parenthood. They've just got to get the guts and the courage and the backbone to stop it. That's an example of what I'm talking about. And if they're not going to do that, and if they're going to keep rolling over for transgender bathrooms and these other things, then we're going to kick them out of office, and we're going to vote for and hire people that will go into Congress and do what the people who voted them in want them to do.
Kevin, you're exactly right, and it's what you just said is going to have to be the case. Where these people are not going to stop promoting abortions. They're not going to stop promoting, you know, transgender studies to kindergartners. They're not going to stop with their indecency and immorality. We're going to have to vote them out of office. Look what the Prime Minister of Canada did just yesterday or 2 days ago, I believe. You know, paying $100 million to the LGBT community for, you know, past discrimination, whatever that means. I have no idea what he's even referring to. And also, you know, giving money and housing to returning ISIS fighters in Canada. You know, at the same time, we see this happening in Europe and in Canada. But, you know, the police, they're targeting online speech that they deem as hate speech for people who are, you know, calling out this Muslim influx and calling out the threats. So everything's just backwards. And I believe that these people are so driven by evil and or influence of evil that it's going to take, they're never going to change no matter what. They're going to need to be voted out of office. And hopefully there are people lined up who are moral people, who are people of faith and of principle, who are ready to step in and fill those roles. Otherwise, we're just going to get more of the same.
I just want to mention our guests, our fantastic panel right now. Kevin Shipp, former CIA officer for theloveoffreedom.net. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin Shipp. Also, Craig Sawyer, vets, the number four, vets4childrescue.org. Also follow him under Craig Sawyer, at Craig Sawyer, both fine gentlemen. And yeah, the moral bankruptcy that we're seeing is just beyond the pale. We're only a few minutes left of the top of the hour network break. We've got so much more to get into, of course, the Russian dossier. I do have a feeling that you've, both of you know, really a lot of the backdrop behind that. And, it's kind of a good segue. This is a good segue into that. And of course, the Mueller investigation. What I believe, people know what I believe, but, they want to hear what you believe. Of course, the Flynn investigation seemingly heating up right now. Manafort, the Uranium One deal. And of course, JFK files. So much more to get into in the, minutes, but we only have a few minutes left at the top of the hour break. Kevin, I'm going to toss it to you. Any comments you want to wrap up with respect to this topic, the topic we were
Well, I think you all are correct. We've got to bring morals and ethics back into this country. The founders, even the secular founders, knew that a democracy or republic can't function without some sort of moral constrained foundation. We've lost that. We've opened Pandora's box in this country. We have got to bring morals and ethics back to America. We've got to. And I find, as you guys probably do with the people I speak to and across the country, the common connection of people who are really starting to stand up and make a difference by the millions are these are people of faith. And in my humble opinion, having been kind of a rough character in my past and having changed all that, what really makes a person have character and ethics is if they believe that there's an authority above themselves that one day they're going to answer to, that is really the most powerful factor in someone having character. We need to bring that back to the United States in terms of just that sort of freedom. I think it happened with the election of Donald Trump. His election was about the people that put him in office, not just about him, but the people that put him in office, the good people in America that actually engaged in what really was a political miracle. So that's what's got to happen in this country.
Understood. We're talking with two great Americans, two patriotic Americans, Kevin Shipp and Craig Sawyer. Again, vets, the number 4 childrescue.org. That is Craig Sawyer's website. Also, Craig Sawyer on Twitter. Kevin Shipp on Twitter as well. And fortheloveoffreedom.net.
We got a lot we're going to get into on the other side. The Trump dossier, the Mueller investigation, this is something we really want to get into, and some of Mueller's background, as well as what's going on with the Flynn investigation, what could the charges be, Uranium One, Paul Manafort's connection to the Podesta Group, the JFK files, and more. We'll be right back with Kevin Shipp and Craig Sawyer after this.